of
Mouth.
Word of
Mouth.
Word of
Mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Mitt Romney's campaign is trying to contain blowback from a secretly recorded video at a $50,000 a plate fundraiser. With less than 50 days until the election, Romney's leaked comments, in which he dismisses 47% of the country as, quote, dependent on government, unquote, is dominating political coverage at a time when Romney is already down in the polls. It may be little relief to Romney staffers to know that there is an historical precedent to this media debacle, especially when it cost a Republican nominee the election. Columbia University historian Richard John wrote in Bloomberg Businessweek about a dinner with high rollers that brought James G. Blaine low back in 1884. Professor John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Virginia.
Set the scene for us, if you would. Republican candidate James G. Blaine up against Democrat Grover Cleveland. It's October 29th. How tight was the race?
It's extraordinarily tight, Virginia, and everyone knows it's going to come down to the vote in the state of New York. The Democrats have run a candidate, Grover Cleveland, who is from New York. He's from upstate, but the hope is that he can pull in enough votes in New York City to tip the state. Grover Cleveland is running as an anti-Tammany Democrat, and so there's a big concern about election turnout. Will the Tammany machine get the Democrats to the polls? And that's the setting that Blaine confronts when he comes to New York City and what he hopes is going to be a triumphal tour, but turns out to be one of the most disastrous days in the election cycle in American history.
He needed to fill his coffers, Blaine did, so he attended this dinner at Delmonico's in Manhattan. Had a kind of a mixed day, attended a rally apparently where a Presbyterian minister denounced Democrats as a party of rum, Romanism, and rebellion.
And those were fighting words in 1884. The memory of the Civil War was fresh. And Democrats not enthusiastic about Cleveland in New York City, but they didn't like being ridiculed for their religious views as Catholics, and they did not like being ridiculed for their cultural customs, that is to say, drinking. Many of the Republicans were prohibitionists, or they were in favor of strictly limiting access. So it was. That, quote, went viral, as we would say today, was picked up by papers throughout the country, and really hurt with Democrats. But that was not Blaine's worst moment on that day. The worst moment was the blowback from the dinner.
Tell us about this dinner. He's got a dinner at, you know, the ballroom in Delmonico's, frequented by Wall Street types, plutocrats, as you describe them. What happened at this dinner?
Yeah, it was a fundraiser, although, as historians point out, it's not entirely clear that Blaine was paid the money that he'd hoped to get from the wealthy in New York. Look, New York merchants and businessmen were very supportive of the Republican Party. The Republican Party was the party of protection, high tariff, gold standard. It was perfectly understandable that Blaine would meet with a warm reception from these folks. But coming as he did just before the election created an opportunity for the circumstances of that dinner to be represented in an extremely unflattering way in the popular press. And a cartoonist did something that was quite unusual, which was to craft a half-page cartoon, which was splattered the next day on page one of the New York World, one of the largest circulation newspapers in the city. The cartoonist's name was Walt McDougall. He had an assistant named Valerian Gribadoff. And they were reputed to have done this cartoon in a mere 2 hours, which is quite extraordinary. And once the cartoon was run, along with an extremely anti-Blaine news article, political insiders were convinced that the die was cast. Nothing the Republicans could do could win enough votes in the state of New York. Ultimately, even Blaine contended it gave Cleveland the election, which was the first Democrat elected since the Civil War, which was a very, very big deal at the time.
So the Democrats seized upon this cartoon, made copies, ran off posters. Explain this to us. I mean, what was so powerful and offensive about this cartoon?
Well, the cartoon showed Blaine at a table of very wealthy men who would have been instantly recognizable by the readers of the world, because these men have been caricatured time and time again in the satirical magazines of the day, which were very, very popular. There were two of them named Puck and J. judge. It was a little bit like the Daily Show and Jon Stewart today. If you were in the smart set in the city, you'd be following these cartoons when they came out every week. And the visages of the business leaders was very evident. And they were used by McDougal in this quickly drawn kind of vivid image of Blaine with wealthy businessmen. And then at the front of the cartoon was a poor man, his wife and daughter looking on. So It was cast as a rich versus poor narrative.
Well, there are some familiar themes here. You've mentioned a parallel of a candidate refusing to disclose his past financial dealings. Of course, there was some disdain for wealthy businessmen, or at least, let's say, a concern over a growing gap between rich and poor, was very prominent in that 1884, I guess, the stirrings of what would become the progressive era. You know, as an historian, when you're watching campaigns like this, you know, we're hearing this is the most contentious and partisan time in our country's history. Any thoughts on this election season from that perspective?
Well, I don't think it's the most contentious election that we've had. And in fact, the choice of Paul Ryan has really focused the debate, or it did for a couple of weeks, on a relatively narrow but critically important set of domestic issues. But what I think that is different today, if you compare it with, say, 1884, is that the political parties are in a much weaker position. Here you have Romney, who is appealing to fundraisers. And that's an activity that in the 1880s, really the parties would have conducted. I mean, Blaine comes to New York City, he goes to this dinner, but that's not really the center of the election. Is not as important as it is today. And that makes it harder for parties to control the message, and also makes it harder for parties really to vet candidates. But is it a dirtier election? Is it a more scurrilous election? I think only those Americans who haven't spent a fair amount of time looking at previous elections would reach that conclusion. One difference was the visual iconography was very savage in 1884, and it was fresh. Those cartoons, because color imagery had not been used really before with any effectiveness in the presidential campaigns, it was said that those cartoons in Puck and Judge had more influence than every editorial column in the country, that gave the election a special character, and one that I think is very difficult for us to recapture today. The new media, 1884, was a factor, and it was a factor that proved disastrous for Blaine.
What a lesson, what an enlightenment. Thank you so much, Professor John.
I enjoyed it. And I hope that at least a few of your listeners will Google Puck and Judge cartoons from the 1884 election, because they're remarkable pieces of American popular journalism.
It is definitely worth having a look. We'll have some links to Puck and Judge at wordofmouthradio.org. And Professor Richard John, an historian at Communications at Columbia Journalism School, wrote an article called When a Plutocratic Dinner Doomed a Presidential Campaign. You can draw your own conclusions there. There's a link to read it at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, what's 99% divided by 2? A look at how a Facebook fight prompted a split in New Hampshire's local chapter of the Occupy movement. That's when Word of Mouth continues.